Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are all well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at yesterday's 1-1 draw with Cambridge United up at the Abbey Stadium. The Addicts taking the lead through Connor Wickham, but you will be shocked to hear that Macaulay Bonn has scored his second career goal, and of course it came against us as well, so it was a 1-1 draw. That extends our unbeaten run, means we're now mathematically safe in League One, but it's another game that we didn't win that we should have won. Right, joining me to discuss that, this is going to be interesting, and Joe Puddyfoot's internet connection is very shaky, but let's see if he's there. All right, Joe, how's it going?
Yeah, I missed all of the intro apart from here's Joe, so that sounds good. Hopefully you can hear me. I will just say that I've put on an old Charlton t-shirt today, and I can't tell whether my partner shrunk it in the wash or the comfort eating from this season means it's now a size too small. But either way, it's a bit snugger than normal.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to suggest that your partner doesn't know how to do the washing properly when realistically we all know what the real answer is there. That's the comfort eating that's done it. Also, bottom of the screen, a man who I'm sure engaged in some comfort eating on at some point yesterday is Terry Smith. How you doing, Tell?
Yeah, I guarantee you my tight shirt is down to comfort eating and then some. I'm good. Thank you. Looking forward to an hour of discussing insults, old insult words that me and Joe are going to get into a bit later. Yeah. There's a podcast waiting to happen, absolutely.
Absolutely, indeed. Right, so on today's show then, we'll hear the goals shortly from Charlton TV, from the game at Cambridge. We'll hear, of course, from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. We're going to hear from Connor Wickham as well. I spoke to him after yesterday's game. Then later on in the show, we've got a couple of guest fans today. I think you all would have heard the story of Nick and Josh. They walked all the way to the Abbey from home, which was a really spectacular achievement. So we're going to catch up with them later on during the show. Morning to everyone in the chat as well. Sam was first one in there, said he was disappointed with the result yesterday, especially with the amount of chances without any end products. On the positive side, we're safe for another season and unbeaten in 13. Bob's in there, Paul's in there, Dudley, Andrew, Glenn, Jason, Shinyfield. There's loads of you in there. All hell let loose is in there as well. Let us know your thoughts on yesterday's game again. You know, what are these games telling you about where we are with the squad? Some interesting comments from Nathan Jones on the inability to stop sloppy goals being conceded and where sort of the blame lies with that. So let us know what you made of what he had to say as well during yesterday's post-match. Just before we hear the goals then, Terry, I'll go to you first because your internet works. What did you how did you see yesterday's game? I mean, it was inevitable that Macaulay was going to score, especially when you were in conversation before the game with him and told him not to.
I told him not to, yeah. I saw him arrive at the ground and he saw me and said hello, so I thought it'd be rude not to reciprocate, so I did. And then I just said, look, do us a favour, don't score today. And then he said, I can't promise that. But I'm expecting a lot of abuse today. And I went, oh, no, that's guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. You're going to get that, whatever. I said, I bet he's really upset Lyle Taylor's not playing to take the attention away from him. But so you're going to have to cop it all.
Yeah, he did.
The only thing that surprised me with the goal yesterday is it didn't come off about 17 backsides before it hit the back of the net, which is how Macaulay normally scores. But yeah, it was inevitable. I think it's inevitable because of where we are as a side, I think, more than anything else. Do you know what I mean? We can play some lovely football at times. We can even defend well at times. But I think everybody watching who's a Charlton fan will know that at some point somewhere, we're going to give up some sloppy stuff. And we did it three or four times yesterday and one punished us. And that's pretty much where we are. And I think Nathan Jones probably said that post-match, I would guess.
Yeah, well, Macaulay Bond certainly took advantage of those sloppy seconds from us to equalise for Cambridge. Let's have a listen back then to the goals from Charlton TV. Your commentators were Terry and Greg Stubley.
Can't make progress. Thomas bails him out, though, with the pass forward up to Anderson. Little touch back to Dobson. Swings it toward Connor Wickham. Can he get his head there, Wickham? Brings it down. Connor Wickham shoots and scores! Lovely finish from Connor Wickham. The ball through across field from George Dobson. Thought Wickham might want to head it on, but he collected it on his chest and turned in an instant and shot it beyond Mannion for the opening goal.
That's a brilliant finish, Tell. A brilliant, brilliant finish from a player who certainly has the pedigree, and he's shown it there. Nice little one-touch play from Charles. Comes to Dobson, ball at his feet, looking for the diagonal ball across to Wickham. The control was decent, but the second touch to set for the finish was sublime. Just opened that bit of space, and his finish gave Mannion no chance.
Ball forward towards Kachunga. First touch there. I don't think he meant, but he still got it. Ellis Kachunga in the penalty area. Now Bond turns and shoots, and it's a good strike, and it's got in. Macaulay Bond, yet again against his former side. It just had to be Bond, didn't it? Eisted couldn't keep it out. And Cambridge are level.
Yeah, it comes from not being able to deal with that ball forward. Kachunga and Coventry tussling. And the ball broke loose to Bond. Hit it on the turn. Just tried a little reverse flick over. I think it was it Terrell Thomas in the first case? It came back off him. And Bond finishes. Written in the stars, wasn't it?
It certainly was written in the stars. Macaulay Bond then with his second goal this season against the Addicts after scoring for Gillingham against us in the FA Cup as well. The game overall, Joe, before we really delve into the defending for the goal, because obviously that was a big talking point. It had a lot of the hallmarks of a lot of the games recently, particularly the ones away, but you could argue that the Wigan game at home as well, where created a few chances. Certainly in the first half, I felt we were in control. Second half, not so much, but we still had the better chances. Didn't take them, and then we have our Achilles heel, which is that the other end of the pitch, and that has been the case for a long time now.
Yeah, I felt at half-time we really should have been more comfortable than we were with a 1-0 lead, especially with the way that we defend. It's not like we know that we can hang on to clean sheets and therefore, you know, get 1-0 up and then hold on like we did in you know, a number of occasions, even in the Powell era. We really do need to kill these sides off. And we didn't do that. We didn't take our opportunities. And then I felt yesterday, as soon as that equaliser went in, we just lost the physical battles, especially in that midfield. Kachunga was a constant nuisance. I would have given quite a lot to have had him swap shirts with someone and come on our side in the second half, because I think he really was the difference maker for them in there. I will also say that Drysdale, who, you know, previously liked to square up to players, yesterday seemed very, very frightened of any physical confrontation, because as soon as he saw anyone get close to anyone else, he blew his whistle and gave a free kick. So all of those different things didn't really help us. It was really, really bitty in that second half. And I think it's like many of the games we look back on this season, we're sort of not quite doing what we need to do over the course of 90 minutes to get results. And the unbeaten run is good, but look into next season. We need to find a way to either add the quality or get the quality out of these the players that we've got now to take the chances, to build leads, and then to be able to hold on to them too, and turn wins into draws into wins. And you know, there's some stats about we've won, I think, more games than won less games than pretty much every side. We've lost less games than pretty much every side, and that tells you what we're doing. We're just picking up lots and lots of draws where we're not doing what we need to do in the game to collect those points and bring them home.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a huge frustration. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of the goal we conceded then, Tell. There's a few comments in there about anyone who had bets on. So Aaron said, I had two bets on in case the inevitable happened yesterday. I thought it might be the silver lining. Went for Bond to score any time. Charlton to win, an unfamiliar term, even when we had him, I know. So, yeah, I mean, I had Bond to score any time as well. I thought the odds were much shorter than they should have been, like, but maybe the football gods just knew what was going to happen. But, yeah, I did win about 20 quid, which is lovely. Nathan was fuming with the defending for the goal afterwards. The ball forward, Connor commentary probably wasn't particularly convincing with his challenge on Kachunga. Terrell Thomas even less so when the ball comes loose, and then a turn and shot. And I think he said it very specifically in your interview. You don't expect that shot to go in either way. So Isted's got to look at himself a little bit as well there, Tel.
I think it's a catalogue on the day, a catalogue of missed opportunities to get the ball clear. And I also think it's probably a build-up of frustration from the ones we've conceded during his tenure at the club, because I don't think it's just about that one goal. It's a build-up of all the different goals we've conceded when we shouldn't have. And yesterday was a classic example of that. You had a battle between Kachunga and Coventry, and Kachunga won it. Put it this way, Coventry didn't win it. I mean, I don't think you can probably say either won it, but when the ball came loose, you had Terrell Thomas, who tried this flick over himself to get out of trouble, when just put your foot through it, just get rid, you know, defend effectively. And he tried something a little bit more audacious, didn't work, dropped straight to Bon, who, to his credit, and I don't like saying that, but to his credit, just hit it, and hit it cleanly. And maybe I still wasn't expecting it, which probably counts for the rest of the Charlton support in the ground, and maybe even the Cambridge support as well. Probably weren't expecting it to hit quite so crisply and cleanly towards goal, and nestled in the bottom corner. So I think it was just a combination of factors. I mean, there were times yesterday when we defended really well, but Hector as well came out from a tussle with a defender and came clean with the ball and cleared it away. There were times when we do it right. We just can't seem to be able to do it right consistently enough to keep a clean sheet. And, you know, when you're going into a game and you've got to score, you know you've got to score three goals to win a game of football, it puts pressure on. And I think that pressure then tells across the side. And I think yesterday it probably told a little bit on Nathan Jones, because he was a little bit more open, I think, yesterday post-match than he has been in previous games.
Yeah, I think the timing of where we are now as well affords him that ability to be more open. So we're now mathematically safe. That was confirmed yesterday. Not that anyone was really doubting that for the last few weeks. But also, obviously, there's only two games left. So now he's made some decisions on players that won't be here next season. So I think, yeah, when we hear that interview, you'll hear exactly what he said, Joe. Just on the Macaulay Bond situation then. Paul says, presumably Cambridge City Council will be declaring April 13th Bond Day, giving him the freedom of the city, letting him graze his sheep, or should that be donkeys on Midsummer Common? Shiny Phil said, I loved Bond's contribution to the game yesterday. Anonymous for 90% of the time he was on the pitch. Scores a poorly defended snapshot, gets substitute, and he's their man of the match, apparently. I mean, we probably knew it was going to happen because of the build-up to it. That's why a lot of us sort of laid on him. But it is just ridiculous. It kind of sums up our season and where we've been as a club, that Macaulay has been able to score against us twice this season. Like, doesn't that just sum up where we are at the moment and where we've got to make sure we're not next season?
Not only has he scored against us twice, I think he's scored five. So that's 40% of his goals. Ultimately, we're just too easy. We're too easy to score against, and I think that we need to be sort of fairly honest about where we are as a club defensively. We lack real leadership back there. We lack that sort of commanding voice, that commanding presence, that no nonsense, I'm just going to take everything and everyone out and clear the ball. The likes of the Jason Pierces that we've had over the years, who's fantastic at that. And even when he was getting, you know, slightly older, you knew that you had a head there that was going to really be in charge of making sure that we were nice and solid at the back and doing our duties that we had to do. But Bond was already afforded the freedom of Cambridge on that shot. We didn't really close him down either. He held his ears, didn't he? The second time I've had to watch that, at least this time I wasn't in the home end watching it like I was at Gillingham. That was the most painful experience of my life. But I would just be very, very pleased next season if he's still at Cambridge when Jones has sorted this defence out, got the personnel in, and we can keep him quiet for 90 minutes and we can all cup our ears at the end instead. And kudos, because I thought by asking Terry, I was going to avoid having to talk about Macaulay Bond scoring against us. But you've done two questions just to make sure that I had to rub some salt into my wounds.
What was the word you described him as on the WhatsApp group last night?
Can we say that?
The first one.
Pleb.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Yeah. So, just defensively not good. Going forward, we had some chances first half. The biggest plus, the obvious plus, is the goal for Connor Wickham yesterday, Terry. I thought that was genuinely one of the best goals we've seen this season in terms of a striker's sort of turn and finish. That just oozed class. The sort of thing we wanted to see from Connor, and obviously we haven't had the opportunity to do so until yesterday because he's been a bit disruptive with his injuries since he's come in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you heard on comms, I said part of me expected him to just flick it on because, I thought the ball up to him was a good ball from Dobson. He's done that two or three times. Well, no, much more than that, George Dobson. But the ball up to him was great. And it wasn't a case of the defence making a mistake because he held the defender off with his physical presence. I was expecting him to flick it on, but he just brought it down on his chest. And the turn and shot was sublime and put it in the only place he could where it would beat the keeper. It was just fantastic finish. And it probably shows the player who's had that experience at a high level and knows what to do effectively. And I think if he can stay fit, and who knows whether we're going to keep him next season, because obviously I'm in a pay-and-play contract. So, but if we keep him next season, he could be a really valuable addition, I think, if he stays fit. And I think that's probably the question mark and the question that Nathan Jones has got to pose himself. Because if he does think about Connor Wickham and joining Charlton, then he's got Connor Wickham who's had his injury issues. You've got Chooks and Ike who's had his injury issues. You've got Miles Leben who's still not back, and we don't know quite when. Which means if he does plump for that, he's only got one striker that he can count on for the whole season. That's a big question. I think he knows he needs somebody like Connor Wickham up top, on across the pitch actually, bit of experience, bit of know-how, bit of nous in games like we had yesterday. But he's got to get players that he can count on contributing more than a third of the season.
Yeah, and that will be the big question. And obviously, Chooks is still on contract for next season, so that situation very unlikely to change. Obviously, we just hope they suddenly find a big vein of fitness and we'll be fine. But that doesn't tend to be the way things work with our players, unfortunately, especially the likes of Chooks and like I say, Connor's been in and out, and we'll hear from Connor Wickham later on.
The thing is, Louis, you can't doubt any of their qualities. I mean, that's the big issue. I mean, you name all of those players and they are top strikers if they're fit. And that's the big one.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I'd say the same about Connor Wickham as I'd say about Chooks. If he was fully fit all the time, he'd play championship, comfortably. And that's where Connor was playing before, obviously, he came to us. There's been another Connor being discussed in the comments. Connor Coventry. Alex says, Coventry needs to be doing a lot more for me. Dobson showing much more, both in terms of defensive work and creativity. We need a goal-scoring midfielder for next season. Jay's talking about how obviously Coventry sitting deeper is allowing Dobbo a bit more freedom. Aaron says it's hard to disagree, but I don't think that Coventry's been brought in for what we've been crying out for, a central attacking midfielder, since Jones steadied the ship. I mean, like I said earlier, he certainly could have done better with the goal we conceded, Connor Coventry, yesterday. It wasn't massively convincing. Overall, what have you made of his time so far, Joe? Obviously, he came in with a lot of fanfare because he was very highly rated by some of the clubs he's been at previously.
Yeah, and came in with some fanfare, and there were some rumours about, deal values, etc. And then we find out that he came in on a free. So it's a bit of a puzzling one all round. It feels like he was maybe overbilled from some of that build up when he initially walked through the door. I think for me, if Coventry was here on loan and someone asked me if I wanted to sign him again next season, I'd be saying no. And I think that sums up his start for us. There's some nice touches. There's some nice passing. I do like it when he gets himself in a position to play a direct ball up the pitch on the floor. It's sort of in through the channels and behind defences, but there's not enough of that for my liking. he probably, and Dobbo probably need a really creative, attention-seeking midfielder who gives them space and time to enable them to do the bits on the ball with a bit more sort of thinking time enable them to work. And I don't think that we've got that in a minute. So maybe you add that in, maybe they come on. But I'd be saying going into next season that we need to be seeing a hell of a lot more from him if we're going to be getting the kind of success that we want, which is promotion. And when you're looking at across this side, I think there's a, we had the elite eight, the sort of day-to-day eight and the youth eight. If we were honest, how many of those players in our squad currently fit into that elite eight for Charlton fans? Because I'd be saying Coventry's in your middle eight. I'd be saying probably Dobbo, May, maybe Small. They would be in my elite eight at this level. So that's the bit that we need to build out. And maybe you build those around these players and they start to look a little bit better. But if we're going to be relying on Coventry to sit in there, he's got to be better defensively. I think he's got to be better on the ball. And I would even argue he needs to be a bit more fit, a bit fitter, because I don't think he gets around the pitch anywhere near as much as Dobbo, either in terms of total miles or kilometres covered, and also the pace and the intensity of those yards as well. So, a lot more to come, and hopefully a pre-season and a good positive sort of start will help him come on. But he's not really been a player for me this season that stood out.
And like I said, with the reputation he comes with, you still sort of can bank that as potential then, I guess, that he could get better. So we'll have to hope that'll be the case, because obviously we've got him for the long term. I mean, Joseph said he thought he played well yesterday, Connor Coventry, and Dean says that you think that Coventry must have a good agent. So we had a tweet yesterday on the way to the game from Callum, who came on the show as guest fan a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the game on Wednesday, on Tuesday against Wigan. Callum said, "I was just listening to Charlton Live on the way to Cambridge. I won't lie, I'm getting absolutely exhausted of every goal we concede turning into a referendum on our goalkeeper position. I can see the argument for getting a new one, but not every bounce is a goalkeeper's fault." But questions have been asked again after yesterday. Joseph said, "Eisted made a mistake. I'm a big fan of Ashley Maynard-Brewer, but we do need an experienced keeper to mentor him and someone skilled in taking set pieces and corners as well as the rest of the pitch, which is lacking. All hell let loose is asking, tell if you think we need a new starting goalkeeper for yesterday." Certainly, like I say, Nathan Jones questioned whether that shot should have gone in yesterday, and it has been a bit of a difficult position for us this season. I think it's fair to say that we haven't had a goalkeeper who's been consistently good. We've had goalkeepers who've had good games and good saves, and both of those two have got the ability to do that. But obviously, it comes back to that, whether there's the command in the defence and whether, I mean, shots like yesterday, you don't see many of those go in from, and, you know, I don't remember Harry making, like, being unable to keep a shot out that I'd expect him to save too often, but it did happen at the start of the season. Now it's happened again.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I think Harry Austin's a good goalkeeper. I think Ashley Maynard-Brewer's a good goalkeeper. I think it's one of those where, and it's a bit chicken and egg as well, I think, because, you know, do you criticise the keeper overly when he's got a defence in front of him that he must be scared every time he goes into a game that, you know, what's coming? You know, there's going to be mistakes happening. So he's not confident, I don't think, in what's in front of him, so, because he knows that we're going to give up chances. And so he's going into a game knowing that that's going to happen. Now, you could argue that that should be honing his skills, because he knows he's going to be busy. But you could say the other way around is, are the defence a little bit shaky because they're not overly confident in what's behind them? It's a real tough one. Nathan Jones, I guess, is going to have to build that defence up to a point where a goalkeeper can be confident in what's in front of him, and then you might see a different keeper. So it's a tough one to call. I mean, Harry Eisted came with a good reputation, quite rightly so, as being a really good keeper. I mean, I think maybe a lot of people are looking at him. He's not the physical presence necessarily that you'd sometimes expect from a keeper. And does that count against him? I'm not so sure. But I think I'm saying the jury's out a little bit. Until we shore up what's in front of him, can you really tell how good or bad a keeper he is?
Maybe a fair point. As Jay says, a goalkeeper complements the defence and vice versa. If one doesn't perform, you're asking a lot. From the other, Luke says in his opinion that both keepers aren't good enough, asking if we think maybe one or two to come in that position. Michael makes a very good point and said maybe it's just because of who scored it, but I feel a lot of us thought that should have been saved. I mean, is that a fair theory that every shot that Macaulay Bond has shouldn't go in? It's based on experience. Maybe that's the case. Yeah, there's been a couple of talk about wide players as well. Keith saying a decent wide player is needed. We haven't looked anywhere near as dangerous since Corey Blackett-Taylor left. I think the Luwa sort of extended trial hasn't gone spectacularly well, unfortunately. Again, hasn't got a great deal of game time, but he hasn't really grabbed his opportunities when they have come. Sam's asking if we want to see what Lewis Ward can offer in the final two games. So he was on the bench yesterday instead of Ashley, but I don't know. I think the fact he's that far down the pecking order already suggests that maybe we haven't got massively high hopes for him for next season. Jeremy reckons that, yeah, goalkeeper only as good as the defenders in front of him as well. And Paul says Nathan has tried getting the best out of the players he inherited. I'm sure now he's got a good idea of each player's limits and those who he wants to take on the rest of his Charlton journey. And we'll certainly hear that in the interview now, I think, because we did ask that question. Nathan does speak a little bit about the fact that we still can't keep goals out, unfortunately. And let's have a listen then to what Nathan said after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Cambridge. 1-1 draw here at Cambridge. What's your overall views on the game?
I'm frustrated, really. Look, as I said, there are positives. We created enough chances to have won the game. It's another point. It's another game unbeaten. It's away from home. You know, the conditions were brutal and we haven't been done. There's a pleasing element to it, but when I'm looking at how I want us to evolve, how I want us to move forward, we have to be better. You know, we have to be more clinical in their box and score chances, good chances when we got them, because that's happened on a number of occasions now in Northampton. It happened in midweek, it's happened here. And then we've just got to defend our box better, because it's a poor goal to give away from every single aspect.
Yeah, frustration that seems to happen quite a lot at the moment, the goals that you're giving away.
Yeah, and look, it's personnel, and we look, and in terms of moving forward, like, you know, we've got some tough decisions in the summer, and we'll have to make those decisions so that we, you know, we're nowhere near where we are now in next year.
Do you think you're closer to making your mind up on some of the members of the squad now at this late stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I know where we want to go and what we want to achieve and so on. So look, we will make those decisions as a club over the next few weeks and so on. But let's not take anything away. Since I've come in, the players have been brilliant, every single one of them. They've driven each other, they've grafted. Look, there's a bit of know-how we need to improve in terms of stuff. We need to give them the confidence so that we'll start differently next year, and they've given me absolutely everything. So yes, we have to make tough decisions moving forward, but a lot of credit has to go to the players. Since I came in, they have responded, they've done brilliant, and the first phase of that, which we needed to achieve, we have achieved today. Obviously mathematically it was, I think it was mathematic after Tuesday anyway, so look, I'm very happy.
You made some changes to the side today. Obviously a chance to see Connor off from the off, and it was a fantastic turn and finish from him.
Well, it was top quality finish, you know, touch and finish was probably the one bit of real quality, and George Dobson's ball for Alfie May. So you know, those were the two bits of real quality in the game. The rest of it was pretty brutal.
With players like Connor, I guess between now and the end of the season, you're hoping to be able to get more chance to see what he's really worth.
Oh, absolutely. What we want to do is literally have a look so we can make those. Look, we're pretty clear on a lot of stuff, but Connor's someone we brought in to give us what he's given us today. And he, you know, he's had impact in both games he's played. He set up Alfie May's winner in Carlisle. He scored today. So he's, you know, it's just unfortunate that we haven't seen much of him. But from now to the end of the season, hopefully we'll see a bit more of him, then we'd be able to make a more educated decision on him.
Just with Dan coming out of the squad, is that just he's got to the stage where he probably needed a rest as well?
Look, the kid's been outstanding, you know, and the distances, and he sets the press off. And today we pretty much knew he was going to be pretty brutal in terms of that, and the game might have passed him by in a little bit. So today was probably the right time. And look, whether it was right to bring Connor in, he scored. So in hindsight, justified the decision. But don't worry about Dan Carnew. Dan Carnew has done fantastic for this football club and will do even better.
Just away from the game, I don't know if you're aware of the two young Charlton fans who walked all the way from the Valley. Just a couple of words for them, because they're going to come on our show tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. You know, to walk I suppose it's good bits and bad bits of that walk. They enjoy certain bits, and I don't know when they started and
Thursday
and where they slept and how many pubs they would have gone past and stuff. But look, lovely thing, wonderful thing, and you know, any time someone does something like that for a good cause, you know, we're right behind it. And Charlton fans seem to do quite a lot of those things, so they're a wonderful bunch.
You mentioned you've obviously had a lot of chances within that game. Just overheard an answer you gave in your first interview about just the importance of when you get one, adding to it, so that when Cambridge come into it, it's maybe too late.
Absolutely, and we've done that. Look, we played Northampton and we should have been out of sight, and then we gift them a goal. I mean, absolute gift of a goal, and then we do end up drawing 1-1, and you know, it's the biggest travesty I've seen for a long, long time, you know, in terms of that. And then that happens. Fleetwood was a brutal game, but we got in the lead and we didn't do something right, and then we end up drawing the game. And then in midweek, we're in total control, we take the lead, we miss chances, we have a 7-minute period, which is crazy. Then we end up scoring and equalising, but we should be in control again. We're good enough players, we have a good enough structure, we have in terms of what we do, so we just should be better. And that's just been symptomatic. Look, the whole squad, in terms of three managers, I think it's 4 clean sheets, and so that's the issue. And we've got to change that. And that's personnel, because I'm not sure three managers can be that inept at coaching defensive responsibilities. Okay.
And you're obviously looking to who you might be looking to keep on, looking ahead to next season. Is it as explicit in terms of saying what the goal is for next season, how much higher up the league you're looking to get?
Oh, look, we have a very strong, bold goal for this football club, and we want to be, you know, we want to be nowhere near where we are this year, for a start, because we don't. This football club shouldn't be languishing in League One, and for whatever reason, over a few years, it's things have happened, but that's not, no, that's it. But now we want to look forward. We set bold goals. We want to really, really do, you know, take the club forward, and how quickly we do that will depend on a number of factors, but we're all committed to taking Charlton to a better place from where we are now.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Hope you're enjoying the show on your Sunday morning. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, looking back at yesterday's 1-1 draw over at Cambridge. Yeah, a couple of people have picked up on the way he's sort of being a lot more sort of forthright now with what he's got to say. I mean, Aaron says now that we're safe, he's not worried about the effect his words have on the players, and I'm here for it. I mean, it certainly seems to be the case. NJ, Alex says, NJ sounds ready to wield the axe now that we've reached safety, Terrell. And like I say, you picked up on it as well yesterday in your interview. Like, there was certainly a change in tone from the manager yesterday.
Yeah, I think, as I said, maybe the build-up of the last few results, or the results probably since he's been here, where, I mean, again, it's far too many draws, and he's mentioned that on a few occasions. I mean, what are we on, 18 now? Is it 18?
19 which is, now.
Is it 19? Okay.
Yeah, right. The League One record is 23, so annoyingly we can't beat that.
Oh, that's a shame. But so maybe it's the build-up of all of that that it suddenly got to him, but probably more likely he... You know, he's a clever man, he's a good manager, and so I think he's known for a while what needs to be done. But he needed to get his side performing to a point where we are safe. That was his number one priority. He's achieved that. And so, yeah, maybe he's, the reins are being let loose just a little bit, because just to let Charlton fans know maybe that, yeah, there's going to be a change. But I don't think it's anything we didn't know already. Do you know what I mean? I think... it's not something any of us who have seen us all season have been aware of our defensive frailties, and probably not just this season, by the way. It's probably going back a few. So where we can play good football, but we always know there's a mistake in there somewhere, or there's going to be a lack of concentration or something that's going to shoot us in the foot. So I don't think it's a new phenomenon. And so I think Nathan Jones, like the rest of us, knows what probably needs to be done, and let's hope he does it. And I'm relatively confident that he'll at least have a good go at it.
AF9110 says, good set-piece taker next season is needed. I'm not sure the last time we had to have a centre-back to take corners. Yeah, Gillespie was taking them yesterday. I don't think they were awful corners, but yeah, it's just a bit unusual to see him. A couple of questions about Lloyd Jones still. I mean, still... As far as I'm aware, the official line was he was recovering from that injection, but with it being quite clear, Nathan doesn't like to talk about players' availability much, so we've asked over the last few weeks, but maybe we'll get to the stage where we ask again and we get the same, he's closer than he has been, sort of answer. But yeah, that seems to be the official line. All hell let loose says, I'm convinced Jones will be gone over the summer, as in Lloyd Jones rather than... Nathan Jones, I hope. But yeah, a couple of emails came in as well. McSquared says, so now we're officially safe. Let the clear out begin in the next two matches. Nathan should only field players who are likely to figure in his plans for next season. Time to send a message out with the deadwood. The fact we threw away yet another lead against a very poor side yesterday is ultimately irrelevant. Nathan was right in his post-match interview. He did what needed to be done as far as this season is concerned by keeping us up now. The real work begins. Dudley says the defending against Bonn was like some kind of pathetic ritualistic dance, as if to celebrate what we all knew was coming. Yet another goal against us by him and any other ex-player for that matter, which is then exacerbated by Bonn rushing towards the Charlton fans, cupping his ears. His flapping ears, resembling some fantasy character from an old Disney film. I understand this also seemed to please Charlie Kirk, who I understand is still our player. He's not still our player. He's not on loan at Crewe, is he? But yeah, Charlie Kirk, like that. It just sums up where we've been over the last few seasons, that we somehow still on the losing side to those sort of players, because they have the last laugh. Tim points out, I don't know if any of you saw this on social media, that one of the supporters' coaches got bricked yesterday. The window went through. Was it? Yeah, one of the windows went through. So that was frustrating. There's obviously don't want to see that. It says the stewards and police herding us, but made no effort to prevent the opposition fans' conversion outside the ground, and they didn't give any protection to the coach. So, well, yeah, I don't know what happened in terms of those people getting home then. I guess that must have been a hassle with the coach, but hopefully you all got home safely in the end. Right, we've got another interview to play. The goal scorer from yesterday's game, Connor Wickham. So it's his first Charlton start, first Charlton goal after what's been a frustrating, certainly year for him, if not longer. So let's hear what Connor had to say to me after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Cambridge.
Well, congratulations on your first Charlton goal, but a 1-1 draw here overall. What did you make of the game?
We've probably been feeling like this too many times this season. We're obviously not happy with the draw. We can hear them cheering as they come in, which obviously tells you where they are and where we are in comparison. But it's just another frustrating game for us. We obviously had chances to win the game. We have the last 5-6 games where we've drawn. We could have took points very easily. So it's just about being more ruthless, more clinical in that final third. And when we get chances, we need to start killing the game early. So yeah, it's a disappointing one for us, but it's also a positive that we've got another game unbeaten to add to our run. But you know, if we want to push on next season and the club want to get to that next level, we need to come to places like this and take the 3 points.
Major positive for yourself, of course, getting off the mark in an Addict shirt. How good did that feel?
Yeah, I've missed it a lot. I've worked so hard to get back. You know, missing the first half of the season was probably the toughest part of my life and my footballing career, to be honest, but I never gave up and I've got myself back on the pitch and scoring, and to see the ball go in the back of the net was an incredible feeling. And to hear the fans, I like scoring at away grounds, so to see the ball go in the back of the net was, for me personally, was just a massive relief. Yeah,
talk us through the goal itself, because it felt like you had no right to score from there, so were you back to goal when it came to you?
I'll always back myself, and I think what comes with me is a stigma that, you know, defenders want to get really tight and be strong, be aggressive, and it half works in my favour. I know where they're going to be, the defenders are going to be, and I think every ball up to that point was, they were on me, climbing all over me, and then the one they weren't is the one that, you know, I'll punish them. So it wasn't really something that I thought about. It was just a natural movement of control, another control, and then, you know, put my foot through it, make a good contact, and, you know, it kind of went in the bottom corner quite nice.
Yeah, obviously you said you had to work hard to get yourself back on the pitch after the last few weeks as well. I mean, how frustrating was that coming into Cheltenham, not being able to play as much as you were hoping?
No, I mean, I've come into the club, they knew kind of my situation, I knew their situation and what they expected from me, and I'm just happy to be back fit. We've got a very demanding manager that's good for me. I mean, it pushes me and doesn't never let me kind of be complacent in any positions. For that goes for all the players really, but for me personally it kind of pushes me on. So I'm just happy to be back playing football, scoring goals, and, you know, that's kind of, it's been my job for the last 15 years, so yeah.
Do you see this sort of period now between now and the end of the season as a chance to try and play yourself into Nathan Sports for next year?
I'm just going to take each day as it comes, each game as it comes. I'll just keep doing, you know, what I do, and if that's something the manager wants to take into next season, then that'll be something that gets discussed at the end of the season, I guess. But I'm really happy, not just to be here but to be playing football again, to be scoring goals, and if that's what gets me something next season, then that's what gets me something next season. But all I can do is what I can control, so that's my main focus at the moment.
Yeah, from your early sort of experiences with the club, do you think Charlton could be a good place to be next year?
Yeah, I just said to the boys there, I've said it since I come in, that there is so much potential in this squad. I've played in this league a couple of times, been in one that got to the playoffs, but I feel this team has 100% the capability to make that step up, especially with this manager and the staff and the effort that goes in behind the scenes. But 100% I feel this team has what it takes to make that step up, yeah, definitely.
There we go, that was Conor Wickham speaking to myself after yesterday's game. Joe, I mean, all hell will let loose, put in the chat, saying he sounds like he was talking at one point as if he knows he'll be with us next season. I think as the interview went on, he did sort of refer to, you know, there's still decisions to be made, and Nathan said it himself in his own interview, he still needs to have a proper look at Conor. But what have you made of what we have seen so far? Like, it does the question only come down to fitness rather than ability? Because ability-wise, you imagine he's probably got more than enough.
Yeah, sorry, I just had a nightmare there. So for me, Connor's ability is exactly what we need. He's a big physical presence, and I'm sort of looking forward to next season. I don't think there's too many games where you would say that Kanu and May are number one choice up front, because we need a physical presence up there to enable us to have a bit of variation in the game. But it does come down to fitness, especially with what Nathan has been saying in terms of thinning the squad out. You can't really afford to carry three strikers with fitness concerns. And that's going to be something that he's going to have to look at very, very hard. With going into next season, I think that across the board, we need to be able to field a consistent side that is fit and is at it and is of a higher calibre. And if we can have him as part of that, then I 100% would. But if it's not, I would rather have a player who's maybe not quite at that level, who we know we can have in every single game and can make a difference across the course of a season enough times. Because with Anike, we've got a player that can make an impact in short spells. But we need players that can really be a part of the core for 46 games. And that's going to be where we need to get to.
Excellent stuff. Right, it's guest fan time now. Plenty of you will be aware of this story already. I went to speak to both Nick Hurst and Josh Wilcox yesterday at the ground to do an interview for Radio London. I've never felt more embarrassed to be out of breath because I walked 20 minutes from the station to the ground. But these two chaps walked all the way up to Cambridge from the Valley over the course of 3 days. So let's bring them onto the screen now. Nick Hurst is there. Afternoon, morning, Nick, and Josh Wilcox joins us as well. Good morning to the pair of you. How are you guys getting on?
Morning, you're right. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really good indeed. First of all, then, Nick, I'll let you explain a little bit about why you decided to take on the arduous task of walking from the Valley to Cambridge. Because most people either drove or got the train. That seemed like the logical thing to do.
Yeah. So the whole initiative of a walking to away game sort of started 2022, so 2 years now. So I walked to Cambridge then, and that was in memory of my nan, who passed away after battling Alzheimer's for about 15 years. And then my great nan passed away in 2023. So I decided to walk to Ipswich in memory of my nan and great nan. And then this year, I thought I'd just carry it on, and saw Cambridge was in April. So we decided to walk, and Josh joined me this year, obviously. And we decided to walk from the Valley to Cambridge all to raise money for Alzheimer's Society.
Yeah, and raised a really significant amount of money as well. Josh, so it was your first time doing it, Josh, joining Nick on one of these walks. How did you find it? How arduous is it actually doing? Because the first 2 days, you walked well over the length of a marathon. I don't think people realise quite how much you had to put into this effort.
It was definitely challenging. I have a massive memory of that last sort of few miles, both days, where we just kept pushing each other. It was a struggle on the Friday night. It was pitch black, and we're just on our phone torches on the side of the road, just trying to get to the hotel. But we pushed each other. We kept going, and yeah, we killed the time by playing Nathan Jones on repeat. We had a bit of we made some chants up about Carnu as well. A fair few chants about Carnu, and disappointed that he wasn't even in the matchday squad to tell him yesterday. So. Yeah, it was a challenge. Kept pushing each other, did some games, played like categories with teams, but yeah, so it's all worth it in the end. And sort of the aching in the foot today, in the feet today, is definitely worth it when you look at the amount of money we've raised. It's incredible.
Yeah, and you certainly got praise from loads of people in and around the club. So I don't think Nick was in the waiting room when I played the interview earlier with Nathan. So I just want to show you what Nathan Jones had to say about your achievement yesterday as well.
Fantastic, you know, to walk. I suppose it's good bits and bad bits of that walk. They enjoy certain bits, and I don't know when they started and
Thursday,
and where they slept and how many pubs they would have gone past and stuff. But look, lovely thing, wonderful thing, and you know, any time someone does something like that for a good cause, you know, we're right behind it. And Charlton fans seem to do quite a lot of those things, so they're a wonderful bunch.
There we go. So high praise indeed from the Addicts boss Nathan Jones. So just how much money have you raised then, Nick, over the course of the 3 years?
So over the 3 years, we're now at about £9,200. And I think this year alone is about 3,000 or 3,100, I think, when I last checked.
Excellent. That's a massive, massive achievement. Obviously, you did walk there to watch a game of football yesterday. Josh, I'll start with you then on the actual match. As our guest fan this week, what did you make of the performance? What did you make of what this sort of tells us about where we are as a squad?
I think you guys have summed it up really well today. It was frustrating, I think, is the one key word that I'd use from it. Yeah, it's just frustrating we didn't take our chances. We obviously had that Alfie chance at the post. We spoke to Alfie after, and he said, again, a better pitch probably would have gone in. He just sort of took it off and went into hit the post. But yeah, it was just a frustrating performance all round in the end. Probably should have taken our chances. But then again, we were saying that against Wigan as well. Yeah, it was just one of those games where defensively we didn't look solid at all again. And that goal was a frustrating one to concede, especially with, I think it was Terrell should have just cleared it. And it was a good strike, but it shouldn't even happen in the first place. And bit frustrating that Harry's managed to not tip it around the post. And I'm sure he'll be beating himself up about that one.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, we've been speaking a lot about how we fix this defensive issue over the course of the last 55 years, I think, actually, now you think about it. But in terms of Nate, I mean, Nathan quite bluntly said it's personnel yesterday. You know, he's, during the week against Wigan, he said it's hard work or personnel. And if the hard work doesn't fix it, then it'll be the personnel. And now he's made his mind up that the hard work isn't going to fix it. I mean, do you think there's any way around sorting out this defensive issues without making wholesale changes at the end of the pitch?
Personally, I just think over the whole course of the season, I just can't really see it. I think, you know, we've played 51 games now in all comps and the same sort of mistakes are happening week in, week out. I know, obviously, we've had the three different managers, two interims and stuff like that. So, obviously, you know, players need time to adjust to different play styles, but kind of when you come to the basics, that should be the same regardless of the manager. And I just find that under all the managers, we sort of kept making the same basic areas really. So I like a few of the players really, but like personally, but I just think we've got to kind of not be sentimental and have like a big overhaul in the summer.
Yeah, definitely think that's possibly where we are. I don't know if Joe or Terry, you want to jump in with any questions for the chaps. Joe, have you got one maybe for Josh?
Yeah, I mean, we just referenced there big overhaul of the sort of squad that we've got now. If you were looking at a promotion team, a promotion starting 11, what players would you have in there? And is there anyone that you've seen this season in League One that you would like us to go and get and bring in to be part of that squad?
We had this chat in our Charlton like YouTube chat the other day, literally last night, and Charlie Brazilians mentioned Piergiani as one player that we would love to see come in. You know, solid centre back, reminds me of Jason Pearce, and I think we spoke about Jason Pearce a little bit earlier as well. Just that sort of presence at the back we're lacking at the moment. I think I'd keep May, Thierry. If there's any chance of keeping Dobbo, then you probably would say he needs to be in the squad next season. But yeah, I think Nick said it. I don't think we need to be sentimental with any of this squad. I think we just need to clear out as much as possible and just let Jones build what he wants to. I've got full trust in him. Any players that are staying, I'll be happy to see what he can get out of them. I trust Nathan to make the right decisions on who to bring in, who to release, and who to keep.
Terry, you got any questions?
I just wanted to firstly, outstanding work, the pair of you, Nick and Joshua. I mean, I've seen Nick twice now, post Ipswich last season and post Cambridge yesterday, and he looked, and he was crawling, basically, let's face it. I'm looking forward to next season, Nick, when you just take it that next level. You know, you've done Cambridge and Ipswich in the summer, basically. So Wrexham or Stockport in January, bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, if you're up for that, that would be pretty spectacular. Just because it's a question that's come up every week then, Nick, just on the goalkeeper situation, it's something that a lot of fans have been talking about. Did you have a decision that you'd make there?
Well, Joshua knows I'm a big Ash fan. Not all the time, his ability, just in general. I do sponsor his shirt as well. So when he got dropped, it was, you know, a hard one to see, Harry coming in. But I do like Harry as well. I speak to his dad quite often, and you know, they're both like great people to have at the club, really. I don't see there's much in between them, really. I think they're sort of around the same level. I think Ash was a bit overhated at some points, and I think not that Harry gets away with stuff on Twitter, but I think with the goal yesterday, if that had been Ash, I think a lot of people would have been on his back a bit more. But I think that frustration will just come out anyway with, you know, we had such a long season of just dire football that, you know, people always get scapegoated. I probably would say we need to bring in a goalkeeper in the summer, whether that's a number one or a close number one to push either Harry or Ash. I can't see both of them staying personally. I do think we need to bring in a goalkeeper. Mm. Yeah, I just I think you could easily flip a coin at the moment to see who starts. I really don't think there's much in it between the two ability-wise, personally. And I don't think the defence helps either, really. But obviously, everything starts with a strong goalkeeper. So I think that could be a good investment in the summer, personally.
Yeah, excellent. And just finally then, Josh, so you mentioned you were making up songs for players on your walk. Dudley asked, did you make up any chants for Macaulay Bonn on your trip?
We didn't, but we did keep saying that he was going to score. It was just inevitable. When we saw the team news and Lyle Taylor wasn't available, we were ecstatic. I think when we saw it in the news when we were walking along that he was injured, it was a bit of a relief, because probably would have lost 2-1 yesterday if that was the case. So yeah, he was always going to score. It was inevitable. I wish I put some money on it.
Yeah, well, I did. So I'm quids in. I think just about paid for my train ticket. There you go. Which you guys wouldn't know how much that cost because you walked all the way there. But there you go. Right, Nick and Josh, massive congratulations on your achievement. I look forward, as Terry says, to seeing which one you pick next year. And yeah, congratulations. Thanks for coming on the show this morning.
Cheers. Thanks.
There we go. That's Nick Hurst and Josh Wilcox, who remarkably walked all the way to Cambridge from the Valley over the course of the 3 days in the build-up to yesterday's game. They've raised loads of money for charity. If you look at our YouTube page there, you'll see a link to their charity, their page, their Just Giving page to donate to the Alzheimer's Society. So it was a really, really, really massive achievement from them. Just looking ahead, Terry, there was a question earlier on in the chat, very early on. I don't know how much you can answer on this. I don't really know the answer to this, but all hell let loose was asking if you know anything what's going to happen with Charlton TV. Is there anything you can say at this early stage?
No, not really. It's still, I mean, we're probably the last to know anyway. But we all know that there's the new TV deal with Sky and the EFL, and we know that that's going to seriously affect the ability to broadcast, not just the broadcast itself. I mean, because I think the blanket ban's been taken off, or being extended, sorry. It's going to affect what games we can and can't broadcast. So it'll be overseas only. But the other side of the deal, I believe, is that quite a lot of overseas TV channels will be able to access the Sky/EFL broadcast. So anybody who's living abroad and already has a package where they can watch sport will almost certainly be able to then watch Sky and EFL games. So then do they then pay more just to watch Charlton TV? So it's a balancing act in that respect. And we're not 100% sure. The gut feeling is that it's going to be a change. We don't know quite what yet, but there's going to be a change. And quite how that manifests itself, we'll find out in the coming weeks and months, I suspect. Mm. But I think it will change, but quite how, I'm not sure.
Yeah, excellent. Right, and just this is a good question by Jason. Says this could be for the end of the season, but what does everyone think of the recruiting against the money and hype of Wrexham? So yesterday, both Stockport and Wrexham confirmed their promotion into League One. Stockport probably, I don't think they're quite the money bags that Wrexham are, put it that way. So Wrexham being in the division next year, Joe, I mean, presumably you'd expect, because of how they have risen, that at some they would look to back themselves again and to try and make the step up once more, so they will become a rival for players we want to sign. I guess that's what I expect to happen next season.
Yeah, I don't think Wrexham being in your league is particularly good for financial fair play for the rest of the division, because they can afford to go out and spend the money, but they can also only sign so many players. So once they've got their squad together, then people won't be able to be as greedy, because there won't be as many options, and agents will certainly play up to it. The one good bit of news is that they do like a Charlton off-cast. So maybe we can make a few million getting rid of some of the deadwood that we need to get rid of and shipping them out to North Wales. So it could work in our favour as well. But I think it'll be good to have them in League One, in as much as you'll get some interest and a bit more news coverage, but also all of the hype and focus will be on them. So there won't be a lot of pressure on the rest of the teams in the division to do anything, because I think a lot of people will be pinning them for promotion straight away just because of the backing they've got. But, you know, congratulations to those guys for getting them up. But, you know, ultimately they are really the Man City of the lower leagues at the minute, and you know, it's not being done by anything other than spending money, and it will come to an end, but hopefully it
when it does, that those guys look after that club, because that's my big concern. It's all well and good having people pumping money into a small club in a small part of the UK, but when they up sticks and leave, they need to make sure that they leave the decks clear for everyone else, and they leave a business model behind that is sustainable for people moving forwards. And hopefully that is what they do, and they don't crash everybody else's bank account in their efforts to get up to the Championship.
Well, it'd be very interesting to see how that plays out. Spamfish is pointing out that Elliot Lee's been playing like Kevin De Bruyne for him, apparently, so he's going to come and score a hat-trick at the Valley. I think Ryan Innes was on the score sheet yesterday for Wrexham. The only issue with that one is, of course, he plays for Forest Green Rovers. But there we go. Right, we've come to the end of this morning's show. Thanks to everyone who's joined us in the live YouTube chat. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss another show. Hope you've enjoyed it. We've only got a few more shows left, actually, before the end of the season, so in a couple of weeks as well, the Sunday show will be from the Player of the Year dinner, so that won't be a live show, but we'll keep you updated with our plans in due course. So yeah, thanks to everyone who tuned in. Don't forget, if you're listening on your podcast app as well, to subscribe there as well, so it always downloads automatically for you. Massive thanks to Nick and Josh, who joined us as our guest fans this morning, following their fantastic achievement over the last few days. Big thanks to Joe and Terry as well. Good to speak to the pair of you.
Cheers, Laurie. Cheers, Joe. Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Good to see both of you. So we'll be back on Thursday then to look ahead to our last home game of the season, which is against Shrewsbury. So we look forward to seeing you then on that day. But thanks for listening today. I'm Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Thursday. Charlton Live.